This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Gooligans for the next couple of hours here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Peter Burns and Katie George back again. Always, all our guests are going to be appearing via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Katie George, let's start with this, because clearly, huge amount of fanfare for us hosting yesterday and taking over for the Dan Le Batard Show. I'm going to start with some of these grumble replacement hosts for the Le Batard Show with Stugatz. They suck. It's going to be a hard week. Thank you, Farkle Factory. Mike was in here yesterday right off the top. He goes, why? Didn't Dan just have a 3-month honeymoon? Now I got to listen to these yahoos filling in for him all week. Thank you, Mike. Arik Baldwin's in here, says, I always have to figure Dan and crew being absent couldn't hurt the show much. Yeah, I was wrong. So I appreciate us just kind of really diving straight into the Le Batard, the family like that over the last course of yesterday. Katie George, hi, hello, how are you today?
Can I ask, did you search for those or did they actually at you and tweet those things to you?
No. So what I did was one of my favorite things to do. Peter Burns, Katie George here filling in for Le Batard's show. By the way, Patrick Mahomes Rich, we'll get into that. And a liquor store employee is the one who actually scooped Schefter. We'll get into that coming up in a little bit. So one of my favorite things to do when I would co-host or host the Feinbaum show, when I got into that weird, weird, macabre world, is every day after I would do my first couple of shows, I would check the Feinbaum Twitter mentions just to be like, I wonder how bad I wrecked the show. Like, how much did we actually put this thing into the ground? And it was awesome. And the Feinbaum show, much like the Le Batard show, has its incredible fans that, like, it's a fraternity. They will fight you if you don't get the show and they don't like the show. So I wanted last night to be like, I wonder how bad they hated us. And I realized, Katie, they hated me. They did not hate you. I feel like you, at some point, you at least had a net average of okay. And that is a huge plus when filling in.
Thank you. I can say at least 3 people tweeted that they enjoyed listening to us. So if that's not a lot, you know, we can hold on to that, I feel like. And you should never go and look for the mentions, Peter Burns. They tell you not to do that. That's like in journalism or like TV broadcasters 101 manual. Like, do not go and search for yourself or the show that you're filling in for.
No, see, that's one of my favorite things to do. Chris, correct? Like, that is exactly what you're supposed to do at some point. Like, I feel like any other show, you shouldn't do that. Like, if I was going to be hosting SportsCenter or, you know, you were on the sidelines and all of a sudden you got Monday Night Football and you're doing that one, don't do that. But I feel like for the Le Batard show and, like, the Le Batard Reddit account, like, you should at least respect the game. Right, Chris? I mean, I figure, like, that's what we need to do in this thing.
You got to check the Menchies. You got to. It's one of the best things to do. Now, but you guys actually got a good like you said, our listeners can be very negative, and I actually saw a lot of feedback, and it was a decent balance. I think for our audience, you guys got a good reception.
See, I feel like if you fill in for the Le Batard show, unless you're like Pablo or Mina or someone like that, if you get above like a 23% approval rating, you've done pretty well. And I feel like we were teetering right at 22 and a hook. I feel like we were close on that list. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. Taylor Twellman's going to join us a little bit later on that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Talk about MLS. Now you got FC Dallas, who's not even going to play in their return. Scott Satterfield, the Louisville head coach from your neck of the woods, Katie's going to talk about college football and are we screwed? Are we even going to play in the fall? And what's going to happen possibly with the spring football season? Adam Teicher is going to join us from Kansas City. And that's where we'll start this morning. I mean, holy hell. You see the headlines, Katie. Half a billy for Patrick Mahomes getting paid 24 years old. $450 million deal could be up to $500 million when these guarantee mechanisms. How surprised were you when you saw that deal come across? Were you Mina Kimes surprised and dropped an F-bomb in the middle of taping around the home?
I did drop a couple explicits, but I was with my father, and so I have to tone that down, you know. Tim George, he always says it's not ladylike to curse, and then sadly he has me as a daughter. But yes, I dropped a couple explicits because, oh my gosh, what a deal. I knew it was going to be big and major, but I wasn't expecting 10 years. And then as you read further and further, more news came out about the actual incentives and the parameters and the details of it. I mean, worth a potential $503 million for 10 years. I saw the breakdowns of like what that comes out to a year, a month, a week, a day, every hour, every minute. Peter Burns, I can't wrap my head around that much money. Like, I can't envision a life where I have that in a bank account somewhere.
It's interesting because I think it always boils down to if you like the guy that gets paid, right? Like, no matter what the deal is, because GMs are GMs, for the most part, that they're going to understand what a player is worth. And outside of probably Bill O'Brien screwing everything up for the Texans every time they trade away some assets, like, they know kind of a relative value. But I feel like everybody saw the Mahomes deal yesterday, and they're like, good for Patrick Mahomes. We're happy. Like, if that happens to, like, LeBron, or if that happens to any other player, I think that there's some people that are like, it's a horrible deal. Why are you signing this person? But genuinely, Patrick Mahomes might be the most likable person as far as in the NFL. And I think that has something to play into it, because when you start looking at the numbers of this, it's half a billion. It's $450 million. But they're talking about also now, it's more like Bill Barnwell wrote about this on ESPN.com today. It's more like a six-year, $185 million deal, which is actually pretty in line with what Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got as far as what the cap hit is. You know, it's like 15% of what you're paying for a quarterback. But I feel like everybody wants to celebrate it because Mahomes is a pretty likable guy. And the next guy that I think that could be on that list is a guy that's going to be playing in Miami, is Tua Tagovailoa. Like, if Tua ends up being healthy and he's as transcendent as he was at Alabama, and this works out, like, I feel like Tua is one of those guys that could rewrite history books in the NFL with the way that he plays and the character that he has as well, too. It took Mahomes 3 years to get there, Katie, but I can't imagine anyone's looking at this deal and going, you know, I can't believe they're doing that for Patrick Mahomes. Like, this deal makes sense top to bottom.
Not at all. Everybody, I think, was happy for Patrick Mahomes, happy for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want somebody to clip that, though, what Peter just said about Tua. Let's put that in the archives, revisit it in 3 years, and if it's a bad whiff, like we've seen many ESPN pundits say,
Don't Stugatz me here.
I'm just saying, I think we keep that in the archives, because if Tua doesn't pan out, like you say, and isn't the next Patrick Mahomes, we can play that and publicly shame you on the show or someone's show in the near future.
I do want to do that because there is, and everybody gets lazy in radio and does these Mount Rushmore, the Mount Rushmore of this, Mount Rushmore of that, and I hate it. However, I feel like there should be the Mount Rushmore, inception-wise, of bad takes here on the Lebatard Show. And Stu Gotz's take on Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes is one of epic proportions. That if there is one of these Mount Rushmore of freezing cold takes or whatever, it would be possibly the first one you put up there. We're going to play that next year on the show. Katie underscore George05. You can follow her on Twitter, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. It is right. The amount of hatred I got from 50 Cent stands yesterday that we did not put him up on the poll of most influential birthdays of July the 6th was fairly interesting. Peter Burns, Katie George in here on Dan Lebatard Show. Remember, here on ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier. Progressive's home quote explore. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And today on ESPN Daily, complex story of baseball, heroism, confession, and redemption. The hero of Goodell Park with acclaimed writer Tom Juno. That on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Peter Burns and Katie George will be joined by Taylor Twellman in a couple of minutes. Talk about MLS. Has basically said, hold up. We're going to have this tournament. We're back, kind of. FC Dallas has so many positive tests of coronavirus. They're not even rolling back yet. They have had to pull out of the tournament. So we'll talk to him about that on that Shell Pennzoil performance line. Real quick, Chris, before we get into Stu Gotz's epic take, we were discussing about the different co-hosts and these Mount Rushmore things. What is the pecking order of the fill-in host here? So I understand on the Lebatard Show, like, is it
we're at the bottom?
We're at 23% approval rating. I get it, but Gail said we're there, so we might get up to 24%. But Chris, where are we at here? I mean, like, who's the list?
I feel like the list is just generally people that have like co-hosted with Dan and Stu. So like Izzy Gutierrez, Amin El Hassan, Pablo, Mina Kimes, that realm. So, but you guys are doing well, man. Give yourself some credit here. You're doing fine.
No, I don't need that positivity.
Yeah, I don't need the life coach Bryson DeChambeau in my life right now. What I'm trying to think.
Oh boy.
Right. So I'm trying to think, Billy. Here, like, as far as just people who have not, has anybody kind of just parachuted in and never hosted this show? Like, who would those names be?
So like just kind of one and done's. We had Ryan Holland host a couple times one week that we were off. We had Dickerson and Hood a couple times. Not that, you know, but this is a bad spot because you're making it seem like I'm complaining about them or I'm not. I'd just say that those are like similar to you guys where there wasn't necessarily a show connection at the time when you were introduced into the show universe.
Yes, Chris.
The one thing that we can all agree is that Randy Scott is the worst.
You guys are doing a lot better than Randy Scott.
Confirmed.
As a group, it's just, and I love Randy. Randy's like the nicest guy ever.
Randy
like,
gets hated on so often, and he takes it so well. He's not even here to defend himself. You know what? I want to go to Roy here, because Roy, feels like to me, we'll talk to you straight. Like, shoot us straight here. Roy, how are we doing? Chris, I feel like, is positive Patty over there.
Yeah.
He's just, like, towing the company line, making us feel good. Roy, what's the real deal?
Admirable job by you guys. I think you guys will do well.
Okay.
This is my last day, by the way. I'm on vacation.
He's like, I don't care. I'm going on vacation.
Mentally, everybody is so checked out at this point. Like, it is Billy, right? I mean, like, I feel like collectively looking around, everyone's, like, on Instagram right now or, like, doing other things here. I just need some eye contact.
You guys are doing, you're no Randy Scott, you know?
That is true.
Is a good thing. Listen, it's a good thing.
Who is, really? Who is at this point? We're no Stugots. That's to say the least. And speaking of saying the least, Patrick Mahomes just signed $500 million deal. Like, everyone, top to bottom, no matter who you are, looks at this deal and go, this is great news for Patrick Mahomes, right? Gets a long-term deal. Actually, pretty dang good news for the Kansas City Chiefs as well, right? Because they're able to spread it out. Hell, they just added a $450 million contract to their spreadsheet, and you know how much cap space they added? $30,000. I mean, that's brilliant by the capologists of how that works, Katie, right? Someone here on this show was not a big fan of it, and let's roll into it. Here is Stu Gotts with his epic Mount Rushmore take of all takes on Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith.
Go ahead, Andy Reid. I dare you to go 14-2 and allow Alex Smith to leave Arrowhead Stadium, to leave Kansas City. Go ahead, I dare you. Because of Patrick Mahomes. Oh. Because you think you could turn Patrick Mahomes into something that Alex Smith is not. Alex Smith is a very good quarterback. The audacity. First off, to do this to Alex Smith, who's been very good and loyal to Andy Reid and won him a lot of football games, to dangle Patrick Mahomes out there because Andy Reid thinks he's some sort of quarterback whisperer, which he is not.
Re-rack that one more time.
Yeah, do it again. I want to hear it again.
Re-rack it one more time, but here's what I want you to take from this. Listen to the way Stu Gott says Mahomes, not the first time, but the level of intense passion in which he gets so wrapped up in saying Patrick Mahomes the second time. Re-rack it.
Go ahead, Andy Reid. I dare you to go 14-2 and allow Alex Smith to leave Arrowhead Stadium, to leave Kansas City. Go ahead, I dare you. Because of Patrick Mahomes. Oh. Because you think you could turn Patrick Mahomes into something that Alex Smith is not.
Okay,
Alex Smith is a very good...
Just the way he pops the P is just so much, Katie,
I like the start. I dare you. I dare you. That's a great. It's a great take. He said it. He was passionate, and now here we are. And Patrick Mahomes took a trip to the bank yesterday, and he is set to make possibly $500 million. So
it's amazing. So he rips Patrick Mahomes, who's arguably going to turn out to be one of the greatest quarterbacks, or at least even the 3-year stretch that he had, right? And he talks about Andy Reid not being a quarterback whisperer, which obviously his offenses have always been incredible. It is really a double-double. It's like the in-and-out double-double of bad takes where you double down within its own take and create this inception of dumpster fire takes from Stu Gotts, which is impressive.
But to be fair, he wasn't the only one who took this stance, this
That's
hard
true.
Of a stance. And I mean, when you look at the actual stats behind it and the information, thank you to Chris for putting some of this together. Patrick Mahomes only had three offers coming out of high school: Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Rice, according to Rivals. And then he was ranked as the number 22, the 22nd dual threat quarterback in the 2014 ESPN 300. Of the 21 dual threat quarterbacks ranked ahead of him, only two are currently in the NFL. Do you know who they are? Deshaun Watson and Will Greer. So, like, I understand why people were out and pessimistic about Andy Reid moving on from Andy Dalton, who had just led him to 14-2 season. I mean, they were phenomenal, and they were on the cusp of something really, really special, and everybody's thinking, like, who's this kid that they're going to, like, just give the reins to? And then here we go. Andy Reid actually may be the quarterback whisperer that we all thought he was going to be, and here we are.
I think what's interesting, too, is also you look at players being at the right place at the right time.
Sure.
Right? Like, you know, I mean, we look at it. I mean, Mahomes was good at Tech, but Cliff Kingsbury was his coach, right? So think about this. He had Mahomes, and Kingsbury finished five games under 500, in the big Patrick Mahomes. And he had a quarterback who just signed a $500 million deal. And like now, what happened with Kingsbury? Kingsbury failed up. Now he's the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Now he's like humble bragging at the NFL draft about how he looks like Ryan Gosling. He's like wearing sandals, or he's wearing loafers with no socks. Like, it's incredible about how Kingsbury mismanaged that whole situation at Texas Tech in a passing offense, and he still couldn't get it done.
Let me get your hot take here. There's only been now six signed contracts for 10 years or more: Brett Favre, Drew Bledsoe, Donovan McNabb, Dante Culpepper, and Michael Vick. Some of those, obviously, we know based on history, did not work out, and they did not get anywhere near the 10 years that they had signed for. Do you feel like Patrick Mahomes, of those that I just named, has the best chance of getting closest to fulfilling 10 years in Kansas City?
You know, it's interesting because the reason why I say yes, A, because it's recency bias, and the last thing we saw Mahomes in the last 2 years is just be flipping incredible, like a Madden player. But the pressure of, hey, he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, is no longer there. Like, he's got it. He's got the ring. He's no longer going to be on this Marino chase of like, man, he's good, but you still got to win one, right? Like, so once you bank that ring, all of a sudden there is gravy. And I think Mahomes, and more importantly, the supporting cast around Mahomes. Like, it is a steal that they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, it's ridiculous, the Swiss Army knife of Clyde Edwards-Helaire falling to the Chiefs in the first round. Of course, that was the LSU running back who catches the ball out of the backfield. And then now you look at this might give them an opportunity to re-sign Chris Jones. They're bringing back, like, 80% of the roster on an unbelievable deal right now. And, yeah, I mean, I think at some point, I want to get into that a little bit later, but I mean, you got to expect at least a 4-year run with the Chiefs, the way that this is a salary cap friendly deal. I mean, if you win at least two more in the next dozen years, which I think is feasible at this point, it's worth every single penny that you're going to have out of there. We'll continue that conversation coming up in a little bit. You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Taylor Twellman is going to join us in a little bit. Peter Burns, Katie George here, filling in for Mr. Dan Lebatard and Stu Gatz this week. Remember, all guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we're going to be joined by Taylor Twellman here momentarily. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. Proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Now, Katie George, Sports Center update.
Everybody probably already knows at this point, Patrick Mahomes has reached an agreement on a 10-year contract extension with the Chiefs worth $450 million and could be worth up to $503 million, $500 million. The extension includes $140 million injury guarantee as well as a no-trade clause. Colin Kaepernick will be featured in an exclusive docuseries produced by ESPN Films as part of a first-look deal with the Walt Disney Company. The partnership will focus on telling scripted and unscripted stories that explore race, social injustice, and the quest for equality. It also will provide a platform to showcase the work of minority directors and producers. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show. On joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Taylor Twelvin, talk a little MLS as FC Dallas is not going to participate in the MLS back tournament. But before we get into that, Taylor, $450 million. You signed that deal. Your first purchase is what?
I am purchasing a mask for every single human being yes. that lives in the United States of America, and I am paying the legislature to make sure that it is mandatory until we figure out COVID-19. Is that a good answer?
I'm fine with that. Listen, as Katie George and I were both nodding our heads, as we're both huge college football fans, and you know, we sure as hell want to be working in the fall and following these great games, I'm all in for that. There you go, Taylor. That's the way we start. How big of a deal, how tough of a decision was this for FC Dallas to pull out of this MLS's back tournament?
I think it was an easy decision. You have over 557 players that were tested in the Major League Soccer bubble, 13 tested positive, 10 of those are FC Dallas. The decision's made for you. You don't have a decision to make, really, to be honest with you. You don't even have a choice. It's disappointing, but it's revealed one thing to me, Katie and Peter, is that whether no matter what sport you're talking about, we are in a country where every state has handled COVID-19 differently, and these are the results. They're absolutely 100% unequivocally the results of what's happening. You guys are massive college football fans. You see Clemson going through this process. You see Texas and other parts of our country that are now being hit badly by COVID-19, and that's what this is. Now, sports and livelihoods are in jeopardy because of that. And it's disappointing, but to answer your question about how difficult was the decision, not difficult. If health and safety of the players is at the forefront of the owners' minds, even though we all know you're also trying to, you know, save jobs and keep the business going, it was an easy decision for MLS Commissioner Don Garber.
Taylor, three players for FC Dallas had tested positive for the coronavirus prior to leaving for Orlando. How do you feel like that played a factor in this outbreak that we've seen within one team?
Well, Katie, I go back to what I said, right? So if each state is looking at the COVID-19 pandemic differently, then you have a team in a state that never really shut down. And so when three players tested positive in Dallas and didn't leave, and then two players show up to Orlando and on arrival are positive, there in a nutshell, you tell yourself that's infiltrated your team and your mm-hmm. franchise, because now that's five players. So the fact that they stayed and then the positive numbers come out, that's where you are. That's difficult to comprehend. When I live in Boston, Massachusetts, and we shut down literally for 3.5-4 months, we're still opening up differently in this state, and then you see that part. That's a frustrating aspect. That's what I'm hearing from inside the bubble, from all the MLS players and whatnot. Now, I think all three of us want to make this abundantly clear to anyone listening. We hope those players that have COVID-19 and that staff member get healthy and get safe. Absolutely, 100%. That's mm-hmm. the first thing all three of us believe. Mm-hmm. But when you're dissecting the process, that leaves you frustrated, to say the least, that we're even in this conversation. And by the way, this conversation isn't ending. The NBA is going to have the issue. College football is going to have the issue. The NFL is going to have an issue. And nobody is really talking about Major League Baseball. But are we kidding me with those positive tests, with all those players that were in and around the country that now go back to their clubs, and some teams aren't getting the test back in time, some are, so many positive tests. It's just it's a vicious cycle, because this is the result when you have a country that looked at it state by state and not as a whole, and this is why sports are in the crosshairs.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to wrap your head around it. What was the consensus or feeling amongst other teams and players down in Orlando when they decided that the FC Dallas team needed to leave? Were they relieved? Well, were they confident in the system working?
Well, I think there's a relieves a hard word right now. I think so many people are anxious and nervous about what's going on. A lot of that anxiety and nervousness, Katie, is from outside the bubble. And then once they get in, the protocol is pretty, it's strong from everyone that I hear down there. Though I need everyone at home to understand, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to be in Connecticut calling the game. So I'm not there. I'm just going by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And what people are posting on social media. But I think a big reason why FC Dallas is not playing is because a lot of players and technical staffs are like, wait a minute. They can't play. Now, in fairness to FC Dallas, they couldn't have played, guys. You've got to quarantine those players for 14 days. That means your entire team needs to be quarantined for 14 days. There's absolutely no physical way they could have participated in this tournament. Now, whether or not they're punished, that remains to be seen. That's one of the topics, the conversations that I've heard over the last 12 to 16 hours in and around Major League Soccer, that, you know, if this jeopardizes the season, it obviously has jeopardized FC Dallas because these games were supposed to go towards a regular season and post-tournament. It's going to be interesting to see what that means if those games actually happen.
Taylor Twellman joining us here, talking to MLS, Peter Burns and Katie George here in the Dan Levitard Show on the show Pinzo Performance Line. So, Taylor, what's the breaking point for the league, right? We've seen one team, they're done, right? They're not playing this tournament, and these games are supposed to count towards a regular season. At what point is the breaking league for a commissioner to say, we got to shut it all down? Is it three teams? Is it just one more team? What do you think that would be?
I would be stunned if Nashville continues to participate or is allowed to participate. They have five positive tests confirmed. They're waiting on three other tests regarding players. Similar situation to FC Dallas. Same, you know, kind of infiltration of how they struggle. You know, the whole whatever buzzword I'm looking for, it's almost identical. Now, here's the thing: 2016 tournament trying to play a World Cup style tournament. You only need 24 teams to have a competitive tournament in that sense. So, I think the league looks at it and says, "Okay, Nashville doesn't play." You've got a World Cup-style tournament, you've got all 24 teams, and then it goes. I think when you hit three teams, Peter, to answer your question, I think then all of a sudden the competitive integrity of the tournament is in jeopardy. But there are plans to play anywhere from 12 to 16 regular season games post-tournament. And so one could argue if those plans are strong enough and they believe in that, then you could say to those teams, you're going to make those games up afterwards. But I think that certainty with how our country is dealing with COVID-19 right now, I think that's more uncertain than playing the tournament.
There was a quote from the Major League Baseball player this week that said, sports are a reward for a functioning society. And guess what? Right now, Bundesliga was able to have soccer. You see English Premier have soccer, and MLS right now is at a tipping point. Taylor,
but
great.
Peter, real quick, though, to clarify that, Germany is the size of Minnesota. Okay,
sure.
England,
yeah.
Premier League's the size of Oklahoma are a little bit bigger. If they had 48 Germanys to deal with, would they have been this like?
Who knows?
You've got to understand the magnitude of how big our country is, and that's part of the problem. Yeah.
Well, and again, in the fact that it's fractured in 50 different ways that you're approaching this,
absolutely.
And that's why some states are being able to do it, some states are not. Taylor Twellman joining us. Taylor, great stuff, great insight, man. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, guys. Enjoying the listen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, are we up to 25%?
There's one more.
Did Taylor get into the 25% acceptance fee or acceptance approval here for our group?
Well, since this is a fake approval, we can absolutely say yes.
Yes. 25.4% approval rating here, filling in from on the Levitard Show. Peter Burns, Katie George. All right, coming up, Adam Schefter's tweet broke the news to a lot of people that Patrick Mahomes had a $500 million deal. However, he wasn't the first one who had the scoop. We'll explain liquor store journalism. No Levitard, no Stugatz, don't worry. We kind of got you covered today. Peter Burns, Katie George, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and of course, the Dan Levitard Show, always brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Another satisfied customer here on the Twitter mentions, at Peter Burns ESPN, Sawyer Klein's in here, Katie, says, Peter Burns ESPN, trying way too hard on the Dan Levitard Show. Absolute train wreck, you don't get the show. I think we're down to 23% after that.
Who
tweet.
Said that? What was his name?
Let's see. Our Sawyer. Buddy, Sawyer Klein. Yes.
Sawyer, I've been working with him for however many months. Every day is a train wreck. Like, welcome to my life.
Right.
But you know what? I think I do get the show.
Yeah.
I get it. Because testicular ultrasounds are beneficial and uncomfortable while getting complimented while he's holding your balls. I don't know. I feel like I get it. I feel like I get it.
And we hate Randy Scott. I feel like that's enough of what we do. By the way, Adam Schefter did not break the news of, and I love Schefty. You guys know I'm a huge Adam Schefter fan, right? Like, I just love the fact that he has 17 phones. He's always very humble. He's just a hardworking guy. Like, he just one of the best in the biz, right? Schefter wrote a book about it. He's awesome. And so when Schefter tweets, everyone's like, it's like a Woj bomb, okay? But it was Adam Schefter that actually broke the news of Patrick Mahomes signing with the Kansas City Chiefs for $500 million, okay? It was Katie Camlin of Plaza Liquors. That's right. Okay, so yesterday, hear me out here. Katie, who you can follow her on Twitter, Katie_Cam, and that's with three M's. What's with everybody with these underscores in their name?
Just move on.
I'm sorry. She said, quote, a front office employee of the Chiefs came in and bought six bottles of Dom Perignon, said there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones, of course, the defensive tackle that they're trying to sign. So my guess is the Mahomes deal. Now, then Schefter sends out the tweet, and then Katie sends out a tweet after that, goes, holy blank, I beat Schefter. Now, she did delete the original tweet.
But it was screenshotted because this is 2020.
That is correct. Fair or not fair? Should we give Katie the scoop over Schefter for this? I kind of think that's the case, right? I mean, like, was it the confirmation?
Absolutely.
Right. Was it the confirmation that it was the deal done, but she was the one who kind of put it together?
I wonder now, though, they obviously know who bought the champagne, the chief staff member. I wonder if they're getting chastised or people are like, well, it was good news. So, you know, people are going to find out anyways.
All right, so here's the deal. I wasn't going to do this, but there is other piece of NFL news that needs to be broken right now. The Miami Dolphins, I just got this text. The Miami Dolphins are going to announce in a little bit that